The following story takes place between the years 1060 and 10,000. When Philip I ascended to the Frankish throne in 1060, he was a young boy and the regency was entrusted to the Duke of Flanders, Baldwin V. These were turbulent times when the feudal lords of medieval France fought among themselves and against the king to monopolize more territory. This monarch achieved great things such as increasing his royal domains and curing a type of rare tumor in the neck, scrofula, but he made a serious mistake. He angered the Pope. Alas, the issue of simonies, which basically involves selling ecclesiastical positions to the highest bidder, was customary. What ended Pope Gregory VI's patience was that Philip fell in love with Bertrada de Montfort, wife of Count Danu Fulco I. What did the idiot do? He kidnapped her and married her while she was still married to another. Gregory VI and part of the French clergy turned against him and excommunicated him for adultery, bigamy, and a thousand other things. This Pope Gregory VI was a super important guy, the promoter of the Gregorian reform. He wanted to end the corruption of the church, the simonies, and prevent Nicolaitanism or the violation of celibacy. And if he could, also the Eastern Schism that had occurred a few years earlier. His boss, Emperor Henry IV of the Holy Roman Empire, took this very badly. They excommunicated each other and Gregory then drafted the Dictatus Papa, 27 theses so that the Church of Rome would not depend on anyone. Furthermore, it sought to impose the authority of the Pope over all of Christendom. This would give rise to the investiture controversy, but right now it is not important. It is towards the end of the reign of Philip I, when the era of the Crusades began, a series of wars between Christians and Muslims for control of the Holy Land, the place where Jesus Christ had lived. If you remember the videos about Byzantium, the Near East was gradually invaded first by Arabs from 640 onwards and then by Turkic peoples such as the Seljuks from 1050 onwards who converted to Islam. And it is that after the Battle of Manfikert in 1070, the Byzantine Empire lost much of its control over Asia Minor. Of course, the empire was in decline. Many Christians loved to travel to these sacred places as religious tourism. For example, it was fashionable to go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where the body of Christ had supposedly been placed before he was resurrected. Necrotourism, they call it. For Christian pilgrims, this invasion was a real pain in the ass, as many of them were robbed, kidnapped, and tortured. The Suicides were not particularly friendly people. What's more, they became very fundamentalist with their interpretation of Islam. All this began to stir up quite a bit of tension in the Christian kingdoms, and the Byzantine Emperor Alexius I wrote a letter to the Pope in Rome asking for help and perhaps reuniting the two churches. Things were about to get really messy. So today's lesson is to kill each other until only one remains. We come to the year 1095. Where several emissaries met with Pope Urban II to tell him all the goings-on in the Near East. And during the Council of Clermont, he called for the First Crusade, an appeal from any Christian to liberate the Holy Land. And many people joined, but almost all of them were poor peasants with no military experience. It was called the Poor Man's Crusade, and they reached Byzantium, led by Peter the Hermit. With complete chaos, the Emperor, Alexius II with Neno, was eager for help from the West, but he was shocked by the rabble that had arrived at the gates of Constantinople. He quickly got rid of them, helped them cross the Bosphorus Strait, and sent them to Nicaea, where they had some initial successes, but eventually succumbed to the Turks at the Battle of Sebeytok. Very few survived to tell the tale. The Duke of Lower Alargyria, Godfrey of Bouillon, was much more patient and did not begin the crusade until he was well prepared and had recruited more professional soldiers. Other important nobles who joined were the Norman Prince Bohemond I of Taranto, Robert II of Flanders, and Raymond IV of Toulouse. In total there were some 35,000 crusaders, so called because they wore the symbol of the cross. Do not think that these low-born nobles went to fight only out of moral imperative, for the faith, and to atone for their sins. They went there to enrich themselves and obtain lands that were impossible for them in France or Germany. In exchange for food and water, Alexius II had promised that they would hand over the conquests to the Byzantine Empire, but as we will see, no way. Their first objective was Nicaea, but the Sultan of Rum, Kilic Arslan, decided to surrender the city to the Byzantine imperial troops at night, while the crusaders were asleep, to prevent them from looting it. The crusaders were angry, of course, but shortly after the Sultan would be defeated by the crusaders at Dorylaeum and Godfrey's brother, Baldwin, arrived at the city of Bessa, a stronghold of the Christian Armenians. There was also the Kingdom of Felicia, created by Armenian refugees fleeing the Seleucus massacres, Turks killing Armenians. What a surprise! The Armenian king Zoros was so happy with Baldwin's arrival that he made him his heir, and shortly after that it seems that this Armenian king was killed. Wow, who could have been more mysterious than this? Few things. Baldwin, now king, created the county of Dessa, the first of the four crusader kingdoms. It is said that it was there that the Mandalion was found, a relic that some associate with the Holy Shroud. Days later, the crusaders managed to lay siege to the city of Antioch under the command of the Seleucida governor Yagi Sion. After an eight-month siege in June 1098, Bohemond Io's troops finally managed to take the city thanks to a traitor who opened the gates to them, and the Norman named himself Prince of Antioch, thus creating the Second Crusader Kingdom. Legend has it that in a church there they found the famous Spear of Longinus, another Christian relic. 6 months later, the troops marched on Jerusalem. It was a good time to attack, since the Egyptian Fatimids had just taken the entire area of Palestine from the Turks of Syria and were constantly fighting each other. They tried to attack the walls, but that was impossible. They only had two siege towers, a few catapults, and the enemies were well equipped. No one was here. But someone had the idea of marching in procession around the city walls, like in the biblical story of Jericho. And the miracle happened. It turned out that just then the Genoese troops of William of Embriacus arrived by sea, dismantled their ships, and built more siege towers. Dabutin arrived, and thanks to them, in June 1099, after almost 500 years of Muslim domination, Jerusalem was once again under Christian control. Of course, the crusaders began to massacre like crazy everyone they caught. Very good people for everyone, very good people. Godfrey of Bayonne proclaimed himself governor of the Crusader Kingdom of Jerusalem. He could have crowned himself king, but out of respect he said it would be better to remain as defender of the Holy Sepulchre, and that was it. His brother would be crowned king after his death in the 1100s. The crusaders' last battle led them to conquer the city of Ascalon, and 2 years later, Raymond IV of Tullus founded the county of Tripoli, the last of the four crusader states in the area, although he would not fully dominate it until around the year 1109, with his son, Beltran I, being the first official count. The Holy Land became a difficult place to live, and many Christian monks had to train in the use of weapons. This is when the first military orders were born. Around this time, some Italian merchants founded a hospital to care for wounded pilgrims, and over time, that brotherhood would become the Order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem, or Order of the Hospitallers, today known as the Sovereign Military Hospital or Order of Rhodes and Malta. Its great headquarters were in the famous Fortress of the Knights of Rhodes, located in present-day Syria, and the order even has its own seat in the UN. Another order was founded by Godfrey of Bouillon in 1098, the Order of the Holy Sepulchre, whose mission was to defend this sacred place. This order included, for example, the Count of Barcelona, Ramon Berenguer IV, and the King of Aragon, James I. Although the Christian kingdoms of Spain did not officially participate in the Crusades because they had enough to deal with the Arabs on the peninsula. Another was the Order of Saint Lazarus or Lazarists, who came to the Holy Land to treat lepers and the sick of various kinds. Finally, we must talk about the Poor Knights of Christ, the Order of the Temple or Templars. It is a complicated subject because there are many legends mixed up. According to the story, the abbot of Cito Etienne Hardin and other scholars discovered some texts that spoke of an underground chamber under Solomon's temple with something very important, which is not known. The Holy Grail, the Ark of the Covenant, the Tablets of the Law, the head of Saint John the Baptist. Who knows? Of course, that's what Pelote called it. It had to be verified, and they recruited Hugo de Payen and 8 other knights to get their hands on this sacred relic, although they would say that they were going to help the pilgrims. When they arrived in Jerusalem, King Baldwin II let them stay in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the largest in the city, located right where the famous Temple of Solomon once stood. For a freaking decade, it is unknown what these 9 guys did. It is a mystery. Did they spend years and years excavating the catacombs of the place? Did they finally find any relics worth mentioning? No one knows. What is certain, however, is that they began to gain immense popularity. They opened a Patreon and made a fortune. They created large fleets and enormous castles everywhere. Of particular note is the Castle of Safez and the Pilgrim Castle, erected in 1217 on the coast of Israel. Thanks to Arabs and Persians, They learned alchemical techniques to create large stained glass windows, among many other things, and some believe that they were basically the ones who financed the Gothic architectural movement. In Europe, this is prettier than the internet, and I think we should stop for a moment to talk about art, although I will make videos talking about this in more depth later. Since the Capetians came to power in France in the 10th century, Romanesque art, the first international style in Europe, began to emerge. It emerged from the combination of all European pre-Romanesque art thanks to the pilgrimage routes that contributed to both intellectual and artistic unity. I am talking about routes such as the one to Santiago de Compostela, the Rome and Brindisi route, or the route to the Mons Michel Monastery in Normandy. This Benedictine fort began to be built around this time in the Romanesque style, although Gothic elements were later added. Another example is the Cluny II fort, which was transformed into the impressive Cluny III, which would survive until the French Revolution when it was destroyed. Finally, I would highlight the cathedrals of St. Peter in Angoulême, Notre Dame, the Grand de Poti, or the Church of Saint-Foy de Conques, or Saint-Michel. Faith. In the mid-11th century, during the reigns of Louis VI the Fat and especially during the reign of his son Louis VI, the Gothic style began to emerge in the areas of the royal domain. Its point of origin was in Paris, specifically in the new Basilica of Saint-Denis. The sobriety and rurality of the Romanesque style were abandoned in favor of creating monumental cathedrals in the cities, which were being reborn. During his reign, around the year 1164, construction began on the very famous Notre Dame Cathedral on the Île de la Cité in Paris. With this rebirth of the cities, a social class began to emerge that would be very important. The bourgeois were neither feudal serfs nor nobles. They were merchants and artisans who had prosperous businesses and had become a kind of middle class. Guilds emerged, as well as new trades related to the economy, which was taking off again thanks to the peace that was being experienced in Europe in those years. With all this, they also emerged at the hands of powerful people. The first studium generale, study centers that would later be called universities, were religious. They were called this because the degrees were valid throughout the Christian world and one could study law, medicine, theology, or liberal arts. The first was the University of Bologna in Italy, founded in 108, and after it came the University of Oxford in England, the University of Paris in 1150, and then the universities of Palencia and Salamanca in the Kingdom of Castile and Leon. Western Europe was becoming something cool, but new problems arose in the Near East. In 1144, the Sukkum governor of Mosul and Aleppo, Sengi, conquered the city of Dessa from poor Joscelin II and, as always, massacred its inhabitants. Queen Melisende ruled in Jerusalem and she warned Pope Eugene Iero of the trouble they were having. And so the Second Crusade began. Abbot Bernard of Clairvaux was in charge of preaching the new crusade. This guy is famous for having reformed Benedictine monastic rules to create the Cistercian order as a new path to spiritual perfection based mainly on austerity. He traveled through parts of France and Germany preaching the new expedition with messages so radical that many people got really excited and a few Jews from the Rhineland were murdered. It wouldn't be the last time the Germans would do that kind of thing. Holy
crap, man.
Conrad III, Holy Roman Emperor, was very reluctant to participate, but in the end he was forced to go along with it. Things didn't turn out so well for him, because in Greece his soldiers got really drunk and committed many atrocities. The English, for their part, left their island and helped the King of Portugal, Alfonso I, to conquer the city of Lisbon. And that was the end of his crusade. The French troops, much more relaxed, headed for the Holy Land led by King Louis VI. Timmel the Younger, a friendly but rather faint-hearted king who was controlled by his wife Eleanor of Aquitaine. They were polar opposites. Louis was almost like a monk and the girl loved parties, wine and music. They never understood each other. Conrad III's Germans marched against Iconium, the capital of the Sultanate of Rum, but the guy was ambushed in the Second Battle of Dorylaeum. His troops were slaughtered without mercy and he ended up wounded and on leave in Constantinople for a while. Louis VI arrived, annexed the surviving German troops and decided to take the coastal route and reach Antioch. Everything was going to hell, as food was scarce and supplies were not arriving, and on top of that they kept being ambushed. They finally reached Antioch, governed by Prince Raymond of Poitiers, who was Queen Eleanor's uncle. And what happened? Well, the uncle and niece kept partying and it is said that they even ended up having an affair.
God, she is very horny.
Louis VI was extremely jealous of the host and sent the girl home. Then the French king left for Jerusalem, and in Acre there was a great meeting with the Auteur or High Court of Jerusalem. the French king, the German emperor with his son the future Frederick Barbarossa, the kings of Jerusalem, Melisende and Baldwin III, masters of various orders, bishops and many more, Peña Gué, attended. Some wanted to attack Shenghi's son, Nur al-Din in Aleppo, and others Sadiar Damascus, a very well-defended city and also controlled by the Fatimids, possible allies against the Turks. The option of Damascus won and it was a complete failure. Nur al-Din's reinforcements arrived from other cities and attacked the crusaders from behind. In the end they all returned home and that was the end of the crusade. Although Baldwin III managed to take the entire Gaza Strip, something is something. Eleanor of Aquitania ended up divorcing the French king in 1152 and found a new husband in Henry Plantagenet with Danu, Duke of Normandy and King of England 2 years later. What did this union mean? Well, Aquitaine, part of Auvergne, Anjou and other counties ended up in English hands, which was called the Angevin Empire. A good ally, good for the French, of course. The truth is that Eleanor ended up in a cloister for years, but she was the driving force behind the so-called University of Love, a kind of very important troubadour school. She also made courtly love games fashionable, where any knight could fight for the love of a lady in knightly tournaments, even if she was married. Her son with this Henry would be a very dangerous owner, Richard the Lionheart. We'll get to him in a moment. Poor Louis was left in ruins, but thanks to the administration of the Batura, he created fairs and markets throughout the royal domains, improved agriculture, promoted the arts and did wage a bit of war against the Normans in spite of himself. Who wouldn't? In the end, in 1167, Henry Segui and he made peace and died shortly after. Louis VI's son was Philip II Augustus, a great monarch who dropped the title of Rex Francorum and used that of Rex Franciae, King of France. His uncle reigned for half a century and took part in three crusades, but today I'll only talk about one more or the video will get too long. After the Second Crusade, Emir Nur al-Din controlled Syria and Damascus. Now he set his sights on wealthy Egypt, dominated by Sultan Fatimar. In 1163 he sent his general Sirku and his nephew Saladin, and the Egyptians asked for help from the Kingdom of Jerusalem under Amalric I. As a distraction, General Sirio attacked the Principality of Antioch and managed to capture its ruler, Reynald of Satio. The distraction worked well and in the end Sirku executed Sawar and named himself Vizier of Egypt. That was it. Yes, shortly after, in 1169, he died suddenly and his nephew, the famous Saladin, rose to power. 5 years later, Emir Nur al-Din died and since his son was infirm and also because he was later found dead, it was decided to make Saladin both Sultan of Egypt and Syria and the Ayyub dynasty was created in 1164. In short, he eliminated all his rivals until he was the only one left, basically, bam, 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 and off he went. That same year, Malaric died first and was succeeded by his young son Baldwin IV. This is the king who appears in the Kingdom of Heaven wearing a mask, because he had leprosy. In reality, the regent of the kingdom was Raymond Iero of Tripoli or Jeremy Irons in the movie. The Battle of Montquisar in 1167 is famous, where the Christian army was on the verge of finishing off Saladin, who miraculously escaped. But after the Battle of Seforia, the many Christians' heads ended up on the spears of the Sultan's troops. At that time, Reynald of Shad alone was freed and became the Jack Sparrow of the Near East. He spent his time boarding ships and jumping over cities, like Mecca, in search of loot and that kind of crap. Baldwin I died in 1185 and the kingdom passed to his 5-year-old nephew Baldwin V, although the regency fell back into the hands of Raymond Iero of Tripoli. But the little boy died suddenly and his mother, the leper's sister, Queen Sybil, had to take over the government together with her husband Guy of Lusignan. Although the child was not hers, but William of Montferrat's, but it didn't matter because he had already died anyway. In this context, the new movement began. The little pirate Reynald of Shad alone attacked a rich Syrian caravan and took prisoners. Saladin demanded his release and the kings of Jerusalem were thus they ordered this crazy guy to do so, but he didn't pay any attention to them. Thus the truce that had been in place for several years was broken. Saladin, enraged, attacked the city of Tiberias in 1187 and King Guy sent his troops. In the famous Battle of the Horns of Hadon, the king's troops, exhausted and thirsty and eager to get to a nearby lake to drink, ended up ambushed in a ravine and completely massacred. Guy and Reynaldo were captured by the Sultan, the former was released shortly after and the latter was beheaded, since Saladin didn't have a damn grudge against him. He also killed his Templar and Hospitaller soldiers and on top of that, they seized the reliquary of the True Cross. It's all very humiliating.
Oh my god, this is so hard.
After the battle, Saladin began to besiege Acre, then Yfa, and finally Jerusalem, which fell in 1187. There was a lot of fighting, a lot of tension, swords, blood. The film's recreation of the Kingdom of Heaven is quite good. You can see the madness that was. And in the end, the Christians, completely exhausted, decided to surrender, convinced by the noble Valianti of Ibelin to avoid being massacred. After that, they pyrotechnics from the city. This bear Apollo put an end to the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. After a century of existence, many Christian survivors took refuge in the city of Tyre, a city controlled by Conrad of Montferrat, who bravely defended his city from the Syrian attack, while others returned to Europe to report what had happened. A new crusade was coming. Changing the subject, around the year 1090, a Persian named Hassani ben Saba created a fearsome sect, the Nazaris, better known as the Jas Assassin, or Sect of the Assassins, led by the figure of the Old Man of the Mountain. Yes, the Sect of Assassins creed really existed. The Persians were Shiites and the Arabs and the Islamics were mostly Sunnis, and they spent all day screwing the former. Hassan fled from one of these skirmishes and with a couple of recruits settled in the castle of Alamut, the Eagle's Nest, located in northern Iran. From there they created a kind of sect to plan to assassinate important people like the old vizier Usuddin Zamalmak in 1092. Saladin was one of the main targets of these assassins. They tried to stab him in the head, but it seems that the Kurd had put a helmet under his turban and the coup failed. He went to besiege them at the fortress of Masyaf in Syria, where they had their headquarters in those years, and he could not. Upon learning of Saladin's conquest of Jerusalem, Pope Gregory VII issued a call for the Third Crusade. The elderly Frederick Barbarossa, Holy Roman Emperor from the Johannisophan family, the French King Philip II Augustus, and the English King Richard I, the lionheart of the Plantagenet family, went there. The first one, to tell the truth, did not last long. Crossing a river in Anatolia, Frederick fell into the water and his heavy armor caused him to sink to the bottom and drown.
Look what I got. For the ducks. Not for the ducks. No, you can swim.
Down, yes. Then many of his soldiers died of a plague, and on top of that Saladin destroyed a hospital for German pilgrims with sails from ships. Other pilgrims improvised a field hospital on the outskirts of the city of Acre, which would become a permanent hospital that would be the origin of the Order of the Teutonic Knights. Apart from this, the other armies reached the port of Messina, capital of the Kingdom of Sicily, from where ships set sail for the Holy Land. Well, Richard I.O. had a falling out with the Emperor of Cyprus, Isaac, with Neno, and conquered him. And after that, in 1190, he began the siege of St. Jean d'Acre, in company with the French king. Large siege weapons such as towers were built on ships, and after a few months of intense fighting, the Christians managed to recapture the city. The thing is that neither Philip nor Richard could agree on who should govern, so they appointed Guy of Lusignan, and after him Conrad of Montferrat would govern. Then Philip fled and Richard the Lionheart demanded a ransom from Saladin in exchange for the Muslim prisoners he had captured. When Saladin refused to give him any money, he slaughtered a few of them in front of their camp. In 1191, the Battle of Arsuf took place. Thanks to the combined forces of Richard I, the Hospitallers and the Templars, led by their Grand Master, Robert de Sablé, Saladin's army was put to flight. The Christians managed to recapture the port city of Yfa the following year, after an epic landing and subsequent siege. The crusade ended with a pact between the two leaders. Jerusalem would remain in Muslim hands, but pilgrims would be allowed to enter without being killed. They had recaptured several cities, but many were disappointed that they had not been able to recapture Jerusalem, which was the important one, so the war in the Holy Land would soon resume. Remember that you can immerse yourself in more history with my book Imperios y Espadazos, with all the most extensive information, more civilizations, more battles, more anecdotes, hundreds of curiosities, and told in small chapters arranged in chronological order. Thanks to everyone who shares the videos, and also thanks to the Patreons who support this mega project of summarizing the entire history of humanity from beginning to end. See you in the next video.